This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now on our First Advantage hotline, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Mark, we just cannot get that CU-Oregon game figured out, man. It's a second time. We're postponing it for the third time now. My goodness. We'll see what happens.
Well, you should have been with us to make that pointless trip. It turned out to be about a 28-hour trip to Eugene, Oregon. From Sunday afternoon, we jump on a charter flight, fly up there, get to the hotel. Food is delivered to the hotel, so, you know, we're not going out. So we're trying to keep everybody away from everybody. So I eat by myself in my room watching Sunday night football, get a good night's rest, wake up in the morning, go to team breakfast. They go to the shoot-around. I'm sitting in my room doing game prep, which I typically do when the team goes to shoot-around. And my phone starts ringing. And I didn't even pick it up. Before I picked it up, I knew what was going on. I'm like, There's no reason for the staff to be calling me right now, with the exception of one reason. So I picked it up, and I said, you can't be serious. And the guy on the other end says, it looks like it. We'll find out. We'll confirm it in a half hour. So, yeah, crazy stuff. And, we could get into a long conversation about the wisdom of, all the – testing going on with asymptomatic healthy people and all that kind of stuff. It's part of the college and pro sports world right now that we're all dealing with. But yeah, maybe someday we'll get to play the Ducks again. I don't know.
I just don't know. And I know you and I have had many conversations about this. I think that's the kind of the beauty of our relationship, Mark. Since day one, I think you and I have pretty much been on the same page of this thing. And I know there's been a lot of ebbs and flows with COVID and stuff, but I mean, at the end of the day, now we're getting to the point where it's back to cases again. It was deaths not too long ago, and now we're back to cases. Yeah. And in some cases, you don't even know you have it. And boy, there's a lot of people in this world. There's a lot of people. And so for any of them to have the contact or whatever, I mean, my goodness, that's going to be tough to get through seasons 100%.
Well, now we saw, what was it, almost 2 weeks ago, the NFL announced that they're no longer going to be testing people who are not sick. You know, so I think, and then the COVID quarantine deal was cut down to 5 by the CDC, 5 days. And then that trickled over. We heard Adam Silver in the NBA say the same thing. And then I think that's trickling down now to college athletics as well, where, you know, you've got some 19-year-old who doesn't feel anything, feels perfectly fine. And you know, at different times now, we've had them sitting. Well, I can tell you this. I mean, you know, some of the guys around the Kansas game that tested positive felt 100, had no issues whatsoever. And I was told the same thing by the Oregon people. And I was told the same thing by the Washington State people that I talked to getting ready for tonight's game. And, you know, so it's a really interesting thing that we're dealing with right now. And, you know, I'd like to say you and I aren't smart enough to come up with any real answers, but I'm not sure the smart people who've been coming up with the answers got the right answers either. So maybe we are. I don't know.
You know, it's funny. I mean, we all are trying to relate, right? And we find local stories. Yeah. I'm getting my hair cut today, and my barber said, I took a test because I came in contact with someone, and so it came out negative. But I'm paranoid, so I did it again a week later. And I still haven't got the test back, and it's been a week and a half. So I'm like, wait, so you don't even, you could be positive. You don't know. You're feeling fine, but you got it. You haven't even seen the second test yet. So I don't know, man. It's crazy.
Well, allegedly, you know, I had the first wave of this thing hit me, you know, well over a year ago, obviously the very beginning of this thing. I went through my entire family. And then during this break here, where we haven't had any games, I've been on campus, it apparently has gone through my family. The second wave has gone through my family again. And, you know, I've got a daughter that's about ready to give birth any second now, and a son-in-law and my other children and my wife, and apparently went through us again. And, you know, about the worst that anybody came out with was a couple of sniffles and scratchy throat one day, that kind of thing. And so, yeah, it is a fascinating thing we're dealing with. And it's not to make light of anybody's death or those who have had serious consequences because of that. We have those experiences in all sorts of different things. Every year people with the flu have extreme reactions to that kind of thing, and pneumonias and everything else. So it's part of the, I always like to say that, you know, being human is a contact sport. Mm. And you know, each of us gets hit in a different way by different things, and it's kind of a fascinating thing to watch us all deal with this right now. But at some point in time, you know, we can't live in a shelter for our entire lives, because we've obviously – we're seeing what you and I also talked about at the front end of this, and that is the impact of living in a quarantine existence and, you know, the epidemic of that we got dealing with that right now. And so – you know, listen, I know there are no easy answers here, but at some point, we got to live. And human beings we're created to have interaction. We're created to have relationships. We're created to have communication. These are all things we're created to have. And at some point, we've got to understand that. So moving forward is going to be an interesting path, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, I really believe, and, you know, again, we're not doctors, but I really believe at some point we're going to get back to the old, if you're sick, stay home. if you're not, you're not sick. But what do I know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of.
I know with, up in Greeley, and, you know, I spent quite a bit of time in Weld County, and there's it. Well, that's the other thing that's fascinating about it. Going around kind of the front range here, depending on where you're at, I'll be out, you know, team roping someplace, or I'll be out hunting someplace, and the view there is so unbelievably different than if you get into downtown Denver or someplace like it's stunning. The different mindset in the different areas of the state, not to mention different areas of the country. Heck, I go over to Kansas and on, and there's a totally different mindset in terms of what this is all about and how you go about it. So it really is interesting, depending on where you're at, maybe what your background is, what your belief system is, how you've got a very different view of this than other folks who come from a different background or different view or different geographical area.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's bizarre. It's hard for me to track. I was telling you, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? I'm like, I'm sorry, Mark. I'm all over the place with scheduling with the Buffs. Haven't played since like 1945. It feels like
that's the last time. Yeah, I was two at the time. Yeah. Well, you know, here it is. So tonight's game.
Yeah.
And last I heard, and I've been in touch with people today, it's still on.
Okay.
But again, what did we find out with the Kansas game? We found out at 5 o'clock for a 7 o'clock tip-off that it wasn't going to happen. So, and by the way, if there were something even remotely possible this not happening, I probably would have heard something by now, so I'm guessing we're playing tonight. But it's been, as of tonight, it'll be 19 days since the Buffs have played. And by the way, here's a quick trivia question for all Buffs fans out there. Yeah, since I've been here for 18 years now, this isn't even the longest break we've had in the basketball season. You know that?
Wow.
How about that? Yeah. In 2006, and Front Range folks will remember this, we had a stretch of six consecutive weekends where every Friday the Front Range got hammered with snow. Up at my place, we got 2 to 4 inches, and we had consecutive weekend games that went along with the Christmas break and, you know, that kind of thing in the middle of that semester break, and it went 24 days without a game. So I was joking with Tad the other day. We were shooting TV. I said, let's not try and break that record. I'm not sure it's wise to do that right now.
Well, I mean, and it's tough because, you know, we always talk about the beginning of a season. And, okay, well, that first game, you just get that first game in the books, you know, shake the rust off. As long as you get a win, whatever. We just want to see what you're about. It's interesting. You're taking this break with all this momentum. The Buffs had won 3 in a row. You take some of that momentum. And then you take this long break. You're getting geared up for some pretty big contests with Kansas, Oregon, then Oregon again. That's got to be a tough thing mentally. And I know they're kind of used to it from last year with everything, but it still doesn't make it any easier.
No, it doesn't. But then again, so the Buffs haven't played as of 19 days as of today. Wazoo hasn't played for 15 days. And so it's not like Wazoo's going to come in here with any great advantage. Like, they're all tuned up because they played 3 games in the last week or something. And so, you know, they've had their own COVID issues that have popped into their situation. Then they had a little bit of a break in the schedule anyway, this, you know, over the holidays. So they haven't played for over 2 weeks. So that you know, it's really fascinating. Boy, you look at what happened with UCLA. I mean, they were on a heck of a deal. They were going to like 27 days.
Wow.
They hadn't played without a game or something. Some nutty deal. And so, you know, it's happening all over the country. And at some point, we're going to have to work our way through this. Let's hope it's sooner rather than later.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You're hearing it all over the country. It's happening. It's happening left and right. Postponements, cancellations, rescheduling games. I mean, sports radio. I got into this, Mark, so we could give opinions on stuff. I didn't think I was going to have to go through scheduling every single day. Oh, this game is over here. That game's over there. I'm just not good at that stuff.
No, well, it's crazy in that regard, you know. That's why every morning I get up and just glance at the scoreboard. Because, A, I'm not sure who played last night or if they played. And secondly, on a this time of year, a traditional day when the Pac-12 would not be playing. Normally, this time of year, it's going to be a Wednesday or Thursday, then a Saturday or Sunday. Well, heck, you might be playing on a Monday. You might be playing on a Tuesday because everyone's trying to get games in. And so it's just such this wild, wild west kind of atmosphere we're dealing with right now, where everyone's just trying to figure out how can we get the contest in and do our best to do so. And so I think that's the way it's going to be for the rest of the season. I really do.
Mark.
And hopefully they can get to the point where, you know, they're like I said, the testing becomes a little bit more logical maybe. And you can kind of move on from there.
Boy, I was listening to probably one of your friends and Mr. Mike Pritchard with his show, Betting Across America. Yeah. We air it here at 2 o'clock on KFKA, and he, you know, obviously going through. They're not even talking about the matchups. They're talking about who's not going to be there, who's going to be there.
Right.
This is why I was saying, hey, I don't gamble a lot, but if you're a gambler, you might want to put that on pause for like 2 weeks because you don't know that none of the teams are the teams that you're gambling on.
Well, and it might be a team that you want to, but I'm not sure who's going to play at this point. I mean, it's really – if you want to Paul Kleeb. Look, go back to, I think it was December 18th in the Colorado Springs newspaper, wrote a really interesting column on what's going on in sports right now about this very issue. And I texted Paul a couple of days after. I read it about a week after you printed it. Somebody sent it to me. And I texted him. It was really kind of a fascinating look, and I thought a pretty logical look at what we're dealing with in sports and how this is really kind of a fantasy world we're living in terms of navigating this thing right now. And so it's hard for all of us to get our minds around. And I can't believe here we are, you know, Brady, 2 years after you and I first were saying that very thing, it's hard to even get our head around what's happening right now. Here we are 24 months later, we still can't figure out what the world is happening. It really is, it defies description, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it really does. It's bizarre, no doubt about it. And you're right, logic is that's been my main thing from the get-go, is I'm not belittling COVID. I'm just asking for more and more logic as we progress through this thing. So, assuming we have a game tonight, the Buffs have been, you know, 5 years ago they had a pretty good season. It seems like 9-3, 1-1 in the conference. You kind of forget, right? You're like, wow, we have a lot of great basketball going on throughout this entire state.
No, without question. You know, and what's going on in Fort Collins and UNC. I saw they had a real nice win the other day, and so everyone's playing well. And you hope we can all kind of just get back and start playing some basketball. Tonight should be an interesting matchup. Washington State comes in, and, you know, one or the other. So you got the COVID issue on one side. You've got NIL, and you've got transfer portal, which is affecting college. We just got off a conference call with Rick George and Carl Durrell talking about the portal and NIL and what it's doing. I just read a piece here this morning that somebody had sent me on what Texas A&M has done from an NIL standpoint with their number one recruiting class. And allegedly, their boosters have come up with $25 to $30 million to pay this recruiting class, which is why they've got the number one recruiting class in America. This is such a volatile time in college athletics. It makes you worry that it might not survive through this because it cannot continue. It cannot continue where it's going right now. It's not possible for this to live under the circumstances it is right now. Rick George, during that conference call we were just on, I mentioned, was very pointed about the failure of the NCAA and how they've just kind of kicked the can back to all the institutions and the individual states that, yeah, do whatever you want, which is never a good idea, right? Anybody who's a parent out there, you'd never look at your kids and say, yeah, just do whatever you want. That's a recipe for disaster. And what they've done, I don't think is nearly sustainable. And something's got to be done about it because it's crazy right now. And it's disappointing for all of us who love college athletics, love the fact that young men and young women get an opportunity to better themselves, to play athletics at a high level, and you know, try and develop themselves so they're good enough to go on to professional level. Fantastic. If not, you got a degree that you go on and make a professional life and raise a family and all those kind of things. That's being threatened right now in college athletics, and it's highly disturbing for somebody in my position, I can tell you that.
Yeah, and I do hear you too, Mark. I think I look at this, and I think there's just got to be a way to have your cake and eat it too if you're the NCAA. There's got to be a way to regulate all of this because you're right. It just seems like it's the wild, wild west out there. You got boosters teaming up to put millions upon millions of dollars in the coffer for a recruiting class. The transfer portal, it's like an episode of Star Wars or something, man. I mean, they're just zooming back and forth. It's absolutely nuts. There's got to be something. There is a part of me deep down, though, that wonders if eventually these kids will learn from it. If you will get kids coming up going, wow, this guy transferred over there and ended up ruining his career, whatever. And who knows? Maybe that's wishful thinking on my part. But more regulation at some point, I do agree, has to come into effect.
Well, there's got to be some understanding about what this transfer portal is. You know, I had a former player kind of jump me on social media today and said, well, if coaches can leave, why can't players? And I said, well, you're arguing apples and oranges. Because when a coach makes a move, and believe me, I've called out for years the hypocrisy of coaches who recruit and preach family and commitment, and then they jump a year later. I've always thought that was a total hypocrisy when coaches do that. You can't be selling commitment then you leave. Okay, that's just a falsehood. Now, if you want to tell the kids, listen, I'm going to be here for as long as it looks like it's a good situation for me. If something else comes along, I may leave. But you're committing to the institution. You're committing to this. You'd be a man of your word. All these kind of different things, right? That's one thing. So I said to the former player, I said, well, you know, so I've called out the hypocrisy of coaches for many, many years. But the difference is when a coach leaves, he's already got a job. You've got 18, 19-year-old kids who are jumping into the abyss and have no landing spot. And somewhere between when this thing settles, I was just talking with an administrator here a little while ago before you guys called me. And somewhere between 50 to 65%, I'm guesstimating at this point, are going to be unsigned, which means you leave a full-ride scholarship thinking I'm going to jump somewhere else and nobody picks you out. Now you got nothing. I mean, think about that for a second. That's hurting young men and young women who are jumping into the portal. That's not a positive for them. So I'm all for giving some kids some opportunity to move, and if things aren't right, you can go someplace else. Do so under the right reasons and maybe make it a one-time deal, okay? Under certain circumstances, you can. But this just kind of college-free agency where ultimately when it's all said and done, Brady, you're going to have kids that are not going to have scholarships that are hurt them. And I got to remember something. When you're coming out of high school, you're being recruited on potential. After you've played a couple of years, we now know what you are. Okay. Now we're not going to pick you up on potential. We're going to pick you up on need. And if I'm on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm not looking for a 3. That's what you've already proven you are after 2 years. I'm looking for somebody else. Who's going to sign that person? And so there's some real dangerous areas that we've opened up to these young people, and there's not a lot of wisdom behind it.
Yeah, and if you're, you know, on Twitter now, I mean, my goodness, how many, if you follow any of these student athletes that we follow, you constantly see, hey, I've entered the portal. It's left and right. I can't, that's another one. That's hard. That's harder to keep track of than the scheduling, to be honest.
It's crazy. I tell people all the time, if you really got to get a sense of it, you're on Twitter, there's a Rivals account and a 24/7 account that is just a transfer portal account. It will stun you. Just to follow that every day. My timeline is just filled, and it's not just guys who are, you know, maybe the backup linebacker. It's star players. Look at the quarterback at Oklahoma, for example, earlier this week. It is star players. It's all conference-level guys in great situations and great programs deciding, you know what, I think the grass is greener over there. And it's a crazy deal. There's not a lot of wisdom. Now, guys like that are going to end up someplace. Christian Gonzalez, for example, for the Buffaloes, is going to end up at another Power 5 school. But a lot of guys believe there's going to be a market out there, and there's not much of a market for them.
Yeah, boy, it's mix that, you know, NIL, scheduling, transfer portal. Boy, college sports. I mean, at least there's something to talk about. There's always something to talk about now.
Goodness. Well, did you see it? And Philip Lindsay jumped in the fray the other day. He tweeted out something and basically just said, what's the deal with all these college athletes jumping into the portal? And he said some line like, people are different now or something. And his point was, stay and work, which is Philip Lindsay's in his DNA, for goodness sakes, and better yourself and make something out of your opportunity. And, boy, he got jumped by a bunch of college athletes out there, which then riled up a lot of CU fans because you don't criticize Philip Lindsay, you know, in a lot of fiction. But it's and I thought Phil had a great point. You know, it's you tell me this. I've talked to young husbands out there who they start getting that 7-year itch. You talk to them, everyone's looking at the grass is greener. Well, over there. Well, guess what? When you get over there, it's exactly the same. Okay, you're still going to have to do the same thing. You're still going to have to go to class. You're still going to have to work hard. You're going to have to prove yourself to be a player, and on and on and on. The grass is not always greener, and these young men have got to learn that. And look at their situation. I said all along, Brady, if there's something immoral, unethical, extreme going on in your program, I get that. I understand. It's a bad situation. We've all had bad work situations. Maybe it's best to go someplace else. That's not what this is about. The vast majority of the 3,000 student athletes in the portal are jumping because, man, I think I can do better over there. you know, and that's a crazy, when you're chasing the greener grass all the time, that never and rarely ever turns out well.
Boy, and you've got a prime example there in CU. I mean, I look at Sam Noyer. That is a story I brought up a lot. Like, and again, I know that was more of a peaceful transfer, but
right.
You could make the case Sam Noyer would have been the starting quarterback maybe at some time for the Buffs last year and could have earned that job going forward.
Look at Katie Nixon. Katie Nixon would have been the leading receiver for the Colorado Buffaloes coming into his senior year.
Mm.
He went to USC, and I think, you can correct me on this if it's wrong, but I think he had three or four or five receptions all year long. You know, and so you go there, and it doesn't quite work out. And, you know, now in both those guys' case, you know, Sam was going back home and decided to go there, and they're both going to get their degree and all those kind of things, which are great. But there are a lot of bad – I won't use a kid's name. I'll tell you this. There was a starter for the Buffaloes 2 years ago who decided he was going to transfer. He jumps in a portal. He ends up going down a level to a lower-level school. I talked to a lot of the players that he still talks to. I said, hey, how's such and such doing? They told me that he's miserable, cannot believe how good he had it at Colorado, and is just miserable at his new program. Can't believe, he says, it's like a junior college situation. It's like a minor league situation, and he ended up transferring again, and now I'm not even sure he's playing anymore.
Man.
But yeah, those are far. You know, I was having a debate with a guy about this the other day, and I said, you ever notice in free agency in the NFL, you never hear the stories about the guys that wash out and don't get signed anywhere? And that's what's happening in college athletics. Guys just washing out. They're losing opportunity. They have nowhere to go. And we never hear those stories. We only hear about, you know, the Spencer Rattlers and those kind of guys that make that one jump from one big program to another.
Yeah, well, and you know, going back to the beginning of this conversation, maybe hopeful thinking again, but those stories, and as you mentioned, the percentage of those kids that enter the portal that end up not getting signed anywhere, maybe those stories will start to get out there more and more, and some of these guys will second guess it, Mark, but we'll see. Hey, my friend, what time, I believe, you know, we're going to be hopeful, crossing our fingers that you got
yep.
a game tonight.
Yep.
What time you guys get rocking and rolling tonight?
6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock tip off the Buffs and the Cougars up in Boulder on the Colorado Basketball Network. In Denver, you can catch us on KOA.
Let's get some basketball rolling again. Mark, I appreciate you as always. We'll catch up with you next week.
All right. See you, buddy.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. 41 minutes after the hour. We need to get a take a short look at the latest on the local Sports Flash.